This morning's scripture reading will be from John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
I mentioned last week that I think we need to look at the news in metered amounts. A steady diet of news anyway is probably not the best thing for you. And I'm sure today, in this day and time, it's definitely, if you have high blood pressure or anxiety, just leave it alone. You know, some things you don't need to, it's like drinking too much coffee, you know. The sad thing is that what we're seeing is something a lot of different people are trying to address. Now, the solution for some is a strictly political solution. And this is not a sermon about politics, but I'm just using this as an example of how man often thinks and often operates. And we do it in our individual lives. This is not just something we do in culture or in society. This is something we do within ourselves. The principle is the same. Have you ever tried to just fix something based on your own knowledge? Anybody ever gotten a kid's toy you had to assemble and the instructions were like the last thing you looked at as opposed to the first thing? And you wondered why two things occur. First of all, why did they send all these extra pieces? You know, who manufactures a product and just throws in tons of extra pieces? Well, I found out when I was working on a carburetor on my first car that if you rebuild that carburetor and you have extra pieces, they mean something. You know, they may be small, insignificant, don't look like much, but they don't typically send extra parts and pieces. So when we go through life and we notice that our solutions are not working, I don't know how long we have to realize they're not working before we realize that we need to make changes. Apparently, sometimes, in some cases, for a long time. Because since Genesis chapter 3, we've been dealing with jealousy, envy, strife, murder, deceit, violence. That's not new to our culture, it's not new to our society, and it's not new to our time. Do you know why we still have it? Because if you don't take God's solution, everything else fails. Everything fails. If you take God out of the equation, if you remove Him from the process, if you say, well, Lord, I like You on Sunday, and I like to sit where I sit and do what I do and say what I say and sing what I sing, and I like the folks I'm sitting around, and I like to do all that, but when I get out here on Monday, it's all on. It's all, you know, all bets are off. I'm going back to it. And I'll do to people what I want to do to people. I'll treat people the way I want to treat people. And they better treat me the way I want to be treated. That's the world we live in right now. That's the world that has always existed. And that's the travesty of sin. You see, man doesn't have the problems we think we have. Because we're trying to solve problems just dealing with it symptomatically, and we don't deal with the root. If you don't deal with the root of a problem, Denise, what happens? It grows back, right? Usually, many times, unless you're in my yard, and then the stuff you want to grow doesn't grow, and the stuff that you don't want growing, well, I could make a million on dandelions. If y'all ever need if there's a dandelion shortage in the world, the preacher is set. We are good. But my point is that if you don't deal with the heart of the issue, if you don't deal with the problem, if you push away the thing that will help you, if the doctor says you were sick and there's an antibiotic that will solve your problem, and if you look at it, I don't take antibiotics, I don't, well, okay, then you're going to die if you don't take it. So what's your decision? Well, you know, I'm a free person and I want to, you know what, take the antibiotic. If you're under a doctor's care and a doctor tells you to take it, take it. Now, you can talk to me about that later. I'm just using this as an illustration of what happens when people try to use their own solutions. I had a lady one time, I had the pleasure, I was visiting with Laverne Rutland. She's pastor's dear sister, passed on. She was an elder's wife. Her husband passed away, and I'd go by and visit her from time to time, and she had a big swing on a tree that I don't know how old it was, sitting in her front yard. We'd go sit on that swing, and she would teach me science. Now, when I say she would teach me science, she would teach me, for the sake of those people who are truly scientific, how to determine how bad the winter was going to be before it got here. And you ever heard of a woolly worm? It's a caterpillar with the long hair. The longer the hair on the woolly worm, the worse the winter's going to be. And that was news to me. I hadn't heard anything about that. And she taught me all about that. She said, when you go fishing, you always got to take a rifle. And I thought, what are you fishing for? You know, I take a hook and some line. And she said, oh, you got to take a rifle because the beaver's down there. They're damming up my pond and they flood my lower pasture. And if you see a beaver, you just do what comes natural. And I thought, well, what comes natural is I go by and leave the beaver alone. That's what I do. But, you know, I've never had a beaver, you know, hold me up and ask for my wallet or anything. So I never felt a compulsion to shoot one, you know. I've never had one threaten my life. But you know, those kinds of things are harmless. They don't hurt anybody, okay? Well, except for the beaver, you know. But they don't hurt anybody. It doesn't hurt to have traditional handed, and some of it, by the way, is effective. Just because it's not recognized by medical science doesn't mean it's not effective. But I'm not going to have you have that conversation. I know where your doctor's going to go, and that I'm not in that. All I'm saying is that sometimes and many times our solutions to real and significant problems, if they are not the real solutions, do not work. They don't. And we ask ourselves, after making the same mistake time and time and time and time and time again, why are we still where we are? Because you're not dealing with the problem. I have people sometimes come in for counseling. They tell me, I've had this problem for years and years and I don't understand it. It just keeps coming up. I guess I'm just a terrible person. You're not a terrible person. Your solutions are just not effective. So we need to look at ways and solutions that are effective. And sometimes it just takes an objective point of view to come up with those. But I can tell you this, if you're running away from God, that's ultimately your biggest problem. So when we talk about this morning about the Bible, I want you to understand that the Bible is unlike any other written piece among man. There's nothing that compares to this. Nothing. Oh, but there are the classics. There's the Iliad and the Odyssey, and I challenge you to read those if you haven't. There are no pictures, and it's a lot of words. And they're complicated. You better have a dictionary, a thesaurus, an encyclopedia, and a couple of academics sitting beside you while you're doing it. They're classics. I had a literature teacher one time, and the worst trouble I ever got in school was a literature teacher who told me that the Bible was only one of many classical pieces of literature written in the world that have affected mankind. I struggled with that. The next statement was the worst. She said that the Bible is no better than all those other pieces of literature. I nearly fainted. I was breathless. I got red in the face. All the things that came to my mind, I could not say. And I raised my hand, and a friend who was sitting beside me tried to pull my hand down. The problem with our world, with our society, with our culture, with our nation, with our community, and with us, is the absence of this. Is the absence of this. Now, I can read, I can be the most literate academic in the world. I can teach classical literature. I can be a master. I can have a doctorate. I can do all those things. But if I don't know this, I don't know anything. I really don't. Because in the end, this is the only thing that's going to matter. The question for us is, Are we willing to put it in its place and hold it in its place? So why is it that the Bible in its entirety, that the Bible as a whole, that the Bible as a work is so important to us? Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from what? The Word of Christ. Now, how do I know what the Word of Christ is? I hope y'all will not answer that. And that is perfect Southern English, y'all, if you didn't know that. I hope you understand that I never want your answer for your biblical beliefs, your theological beliefs, your doctrinal beliefs. I never want you to say, because Lonnie said. Because that has no authority. None. Now, a lot of preachers have some heartburn. Well, people need to respect preachers, need to do all this stuff. Preacher is a man with a Bible in his hand, and if he's doing his job, he's telling you what's in his book. Without error, without deviation, and without dissolution. He's preaching to you the truth of the message. So if you say you believe something about God, that you believe something about your salvation, then it has to come from here. And if you say, well, I don't like reading. I wonder sometimes if you were in an airplane, and you know the nice, what do they call them? Not stewardesses anymore. They call them attendants, flight attendants. Thank you. Will knows. HR guy. He can tell me. He can clue me in. So your flight attendant comes up before the flight, and they say, they give you these instructions. Your exits are over here. And by the way, if this mask drops down out of the ceiling, well, you're just supposed to do what? Just look at it, play with it. You put it over your face so you don't pass out due to decompression of the aircraft. I wonder, and those cards are in the back of every seat. I bet you there are people sitting there on their cell. Well, I've got this crossword puzzle I'm doing. And yeah, but she's talking or he's talking. I'm not listening too closely. But I'll bet you if that mass falls down at about 30,000 feet, those cards will be coming out of the back of them seats. Why is that? Well, if that mask comes down, at least I got to figure out why she's over there putting that thing on her head. And we're trying to get them on our kids. And we're doing, why is everybody, what's so exciting? You know, what's going on? We suddenly want to read it. Do you think on the day of judgment there's going to be a big box of Bibles out there and all of a sudden people are going to be able to walk up there and say, well, you know what? I hadn't read it yet. Judgment day is too late. Because your time for reading is gone. Your time for living it is over. Right now, you are determining your eternity by the life you're living today. Don't look at the Lord on judgment day and say, well, you know, if Brad had just been a better person, I'd be... No. You know? If Dale had just spoken to me in a certain way, then I would have... No. Mm-mm. Every single one of us is responsible for this. My job is to remind you. My job is to point you in the right direction. My job is to maybe bring clarity to some things. My job is to encourage you. My job is to say amen to the Word of God. My job is not politics and it's not popularity. My job is to represent God. And I will tell you, there are times when I feel like a miserable failure. Because I'm not perfect. I think anybody representing this needs to be doing the best possible job that can be done. And the most prideful and perfect among us are not good enough. They're not. But thankfully, we have God who is graceful to us. If it wasn't for His grace and His love, well, none of us would be anywhere. So first of all, the Bible, His Word, creates or helps us to create faith because that's where it comes from. A lot of people who struggle with their faith will say, well, what do I do to increase my faith? I want to be more faithful, be a better reader, be a better student, be a better liver of the Word of God. Your faith will grow. Well, I know, but I'm busy. Well, you better get unbusy. How busy are you going to be for eternity? How busy will you be then? So when we talk about the first thing, it creates faith. Second thing is, it helps us to understand how to be born again. One of the great questions I have with people who are Christians or claim Christianity is what did you do? At what point did you know that your relationship with God changed? And if you can't show me biblically how that pattern fits the biblical mold, well, you can't. Well, I was driving in my car and a bird flew by and it was a white dove and I suddenly knew that I had peace with God. There is nothing biblically that says anything of that nature. It's just not there. I had a person tell me one time they were driving over their mountains in West Virginia and they were coming down the other side, and there is an other side, isn't there, Pam, to the mountains? You know, there's another side and you come down. And when you start coming down, they said when they reached the peak, they looked up in the clouds and saw what they thought was a face of Jesus. And I thought, that's amazing. You saw the face of a Middle Eastern man up in the sky. No, it was white clouds. I said, well, I got some news for you. It didn't quite work that way. But that's when I knew. What do you mean that's when you knew? It's almost like somebody walking in and saying, I'm going to build a house. I don't know anything about building a house, but I'm going to build a house and I'm going to make it 40 stories high. And I want all y'all to live in it. Notice I didn't say me. And I don't know anything about building. Y'all just going in there. Are you kidding me? I've torn down buildings built by professionals. I definitely don't want to see something like that going up and then risk everybody's life by putting them into it because somebody decided they wanted to be a builder. They don't know the first thing about it. You know what we don't know about? How to get rid of our sin. I don't know how. I mean, I know what the Bible says, but if you were to ask me personally, you were to say, Lonnie, I want Lonnie's formula for getting rid of sin in my life, the first thing I do is grab this book. And say, okay, here's where it's at. Here's the answer. But if you walk up to me and you say, Lonnie, I don't want anything the Bible says, but I want you to tell me how to get rid of sin in my life. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to happen. If you don't want Jesus, you got to live with sin. Period. If I'm not willing to do things the way that He has outlined and explained, I want you to go back to the first verse we read, if I can get there. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. Apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. If you want salvation to come into being in your life, you have got to work with Jesus. There's no other way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And most people come to the Father by me, right? Nobody, no one comes to the Father but by me. Now that, yes, there are people in this world that get upset because they want to follow all kinds of other people. I'm telling you, if you don't enter through Jesus Christ, you are not going to find yourself in the midst of the heavenly kingdom. It's just not going to happen. Jesus is either telling the truth or He is not. And I think there is ample evidence that He is absolutely telling the truth. Peter says, "For you have not been born again, you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the Word which was preached to you." To you. The Word. It's an incorruptible seed. Something that can't be changed. The Word keeps us saved. Well, I can get the sin out of my life and I can take care of that, but what do I do and what about the future? What if I fail tomorrow? And well, there's a pretty simple way to deal with those things. It keeps us on a path to being what we need to be. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 and 12, these things happened to them as an example. They were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. In other words, if I want to stay saved, if you want to use that term, that's fine with me. It's a biblical term. Just make sure that you are. But if you want to stay saved, you've got to stay within the words of God. I don't get to venture off and say, well, I think. Let me tell you some answers and the beginning of answers that automatically nullify the answer. If I ask you, or if you, let's just say you ask me, you say, Lonnie, what have I got to do to be saved? Well, I think, all right, preacher, stop right there. I don't want to know what you think. What do you know? Well, I think that's some of the worst answers, parents, when you're teaching your kids about Christ. I realize that the Bible doesn't give us all answers and that there are times when you have to draw from history and your judgment and your experience. But I'm going to tell you this, when it comes to fundamental matters of salvation, there should be no I thinks involved. Chapter and verse. Where is it? That's one of the problems with our society today. People have spent so much time pushing God off of monuments and off of plaques that they don't even read the Bible. I could tell people, I could tell the general public, there are things that are in the Bible, and this study's been done many times, phrases and cliches that I might say are in the Bible that are really not. And oh yeah, that's there. Where is it? I don't know, but it's in the Bible. Like what? This too shall pass. The principle is there, but the phrase is not. That was actually written on an Egyptian header pillar. And it was in reference to empires, not people. This too shall pass. I've heard, well, you know, if the Lord helps them, who what? Help themselves, right? I want you to show me that verse. Show me that verse. I can promise you it's not there. Unless you got a new translation I haven't seen. Now, I haven't seen them all, so maybe you do. You know who the Lord helps? The people who kneel down before Him and hand their soul to Him. That's who God helps. See, and that goes back feeding that mentality. Well, I just need to get out and I got to do my thing. And I've got to be this and I've... Well, if you're talking about being what God wants you to be, but if you're talking about just doing what you think is right, then you're going to find yourself in trouble. It always works that way. I can go wherever I want to go, but if I don't follow the right path, I'm not going to get where I want to be. You can still go wherever you want to go. Don't get mad at God when you get lost. I remember a time when we didn't have GPSs. And Laura Susan, my lovely bride, was my navigator. She learned how to read a map because if we were going to get home, I was driving and she had the map. And y'all won't know anything about this, at least unless you're some of the, let's just say, more veteran members of the congregation. The actual exits were marked on the map. I mean, if you get like a big atlas and it's got, you know, different things and you got the highways and you got the exits marked, and it'll tell you about where you're at. If you can read those maps, you can tell just about exactly where you're at. I can tell you right now, if you got a GPS, it may or may not be correct. Mine was made in Korea. Now, I got nothing against Koreans, but the person who made that map didn't live around here. So that's all I'm saying. They'll tell you to go somewhere, it ain't there, or it's moved, or it's closed, or it never was, wrong road. But I've often said that's somebody's joke on Lonnie. But, so in God's, it is God's power to save us, the Word, and secondly, the Bible is God's power to comfort us. I've heard a lot of things in the last few days. People, I think, meaning well, are just giving bad advice. They're meaning well. They're giving bad advice. If I do something wrong, what is the biblical formula? If I don't know that I've wronged you, what is the formula? You come to me, right? And we talk, hopefully, prayerfully. That will resolve whatever the issue is. That's the hope of that. Secondly, if I say... It really is a spiritual problem. I'm talking about spiritual problems now. If you don't like spaghetti and I like spaghetti, that's not a problem. You order linguine, you know, whatever. But if we have a real problem that's an actual spiritual sinful problem and I refuse to acknowledge it, the next step is for you to bring someone with you and the two talk to the one. Okay? Hopefully, my hearing that will, you know, oh, well, you know, okay. You know, it's two people. I love them both. They, you know, maybe there's something to it. Okay, but I may say, no, I don't believe it. I ain't going for it. And so then the next thing is to carry it before the church. And typically our standards are we take it to the elders. But we should have attempted at least to do what was right. And at that point, whether the problem is resolved or not, the truth of the matter is that's the formula. That's the way you do it. You know how you don't do it? Me and Bob McCurdy, we have a disagreement. So I go to somebody else, anybody else that I think is going to agree with me. Oh, you know about Bob, don't you? Yeah, you know, and I'm going to choose that person based on their likelihood that they had a problem with Bob. So I'm going to get really good support, right? I'm going to be supported in my idiocy. Because that's not how you solve the problem. A lot of folks want to solve problems by talking about a problem instead of dealing with the problem. If my porch is falling apart on my house, I can talk about how rotten the wood is all day long. But if I don't start doing some repairs, I'm going to step out one day and go straight to the ground. Because I talked about it. I didn't fix it. I didn't deal with it. So when we talk about the power to comfort, what is it that would give us peace? Because if our nation and our world needs anything right now, it needs peace. How do we get there? How do we get there? Well, it comes from the Word of God. For whatever was written in earlier times, as we said before, was written for our instruction. Our instruction to teach us something. The Bible is not written so that we can have a bunch of tests and determine who of us has got the best memory of it. I believe that's why God gave us the book. When I was a plumber, pipe fitter, and that's a secret between all of us. When I was doing that work, every phase of construction has an inspector come out. And the inspector has a certain set of standards that you have to meet. And he checks your stuff. Sometimes there's gauges, pressure gauges, all kinds of things involved. And all that stuff is checked. And if it doesn't meet that guidance, then you either have to make the repair, you've got to redo it, or whatever the case is. But the reason for that is public safety. Now how it happens is, the inspector comes out, and there's a code book. And the code book tells you what all the standards are. And it's very objective. It's supposed to be objective. And all you're supposed to do is, okay, well, this pressure was supposed to be here. It wasn't there. We got to figure out why it's not where it's supposed to be. And it's up to the tradesman's, it's up to his job to fix it. And the inspector comes back, and when it's where it's supposed to be, okay, we check that off. You pass. You don't pass just because you want, but I know, but I tried. I worked hard on that. Well, you're going to work a little harder. You could do a little more. I think sometimes we look at God's book and we say, well, you know, I know, but I don't want to be honest about that. That's the standard is honesty. The standard is to not be deceitful. I know, but I like them, but I just don't think I can love them. You chose to like them and you can choose to love them. It's a choice. It's an action. The world tells you love is an emotion. That's why, that's again. Well, you just gotta, it's an emotion and you just gotta, let me tell you something. You know what your emotions actually define? Nothing but what's in your heart. That's all. My emotions don't validate anything, but I felt so good about it. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 9. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you have a major struggle in your life, if there is something massive that's going on, let me tell you the first one you go to. Not the last one, not in the middle. The very first one we ought to talk to is God. First one. If I have sin in my life and I want it gone, where else can I go that's going to do any good for me other than God? I've got to talk to God. I know, but I've got this struggle. Then you keep on struggling with it, but you talk to God. It amazes me how many people have these devastating personal issues going on, and yet you ask them, have you talked to God? Well, you know, I don't pray like I ought to. What? Are you a Christian? Well, of course. Well, dare you ask me. And yet, God is secondary or more to your problem. When we talk about issues that we want to change, the very first thing we do, the foundational principle upon which we approach the problem is through God. I need to get out of the way. Any problem we have with man today, any problem we have with man, and I, any is an absolute term, that excludes nothing. There is no problem that man has today that is God's fault. The problems we have today have come as a direct result of man getting in the way of God. That's where they come from. I thought problems came because, you know, the people I don't like. No. Because I don't know how old those people are, but, you know, depending on how old you view the earth, at least since Genesis chapter 3, man has always had issues with each other, with life. Remember what was Cain mad about? He was mad because God accepted Abel's sacrifice, right? And Abel was his he's the favorite one, and he's you just like his. No, Abel did, and God explained to Cain what the problem was. He told Cain, he said, if you'll just do what I told you to do, instead of trying to do what you think I ought to accept. That's the problem. It's not your brother Abel. You see, that's man trying to solve a problem. That's man trying to do it. Abel was just doing what God told him to do. That was the only difference. And I don't know. We don't know a lot about the interaction between Cain and Abel, because when they're introduced to subject matter, there's not a lot of background except for the final event between those two. But I don't get the impression Abel was going around taunting Cain, saying, "Oh, look at my sacrifice." Because you know what that would have done to Abel's sacrifice? Nullified it. You don't get to do that. The Edomites celebrated the demise of their cousins, the Israelites, as they were going through the desert. And God said, because you laugh and you celebrate at their demise, guess what's going to happen to you? You're leaving this world. Permanently. And that's what happened. If we're going to have peace, folks, it's going to be at the hands of God. It will be through obedience and submission to God. That's what it's going to take. If you want peace in your life, forget about all the general information about communities and nations and the world. Now let's make it very personal. Do you want peace? Because I can tell you the world's going to do what the world's going to do. I can only affect the world to the degree that I control myself in a proper way. I can't fix everybody else. I can tell them what's right. I can point out what's right. I can example what's right. But I can't make them do what's right. Much as I want to. Believe me, the world would be a perfect place if everybody was just like me. Wouldn't it? We would all be at each other's throats. That's just the way it is. We still wouldn't be. You know, if everybody just do what I say, everything would be fine. Well, no, probably not. You know, I wish it were that way. If everybody would do what God says, then you could say everything would be fine. That's what we need. So if you want peace in your life, the very first thing you have to do is kneel. You got to submit to God. You've got to recognize the fact that God is God and we simply are not. To go on, Paul writes to Philippians, he says this. He goes on and he says, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You think that's what the world needs? Yeah, it is. More than anything else. We need that. And the sad thing is, of all the solutions I see being proposed, I don't see a lot of that. I don't see a lot of it. Brothers and sisters, if you call yourself a child of God, we have to be students, believers, teachers, and livers of the Word. Have to be. And if I have problems in my life and in this world, I need to first look in the mirror and ask myself, am I being what I'm supposed to be? Am I where I'm supposed to be? So this morning, I'll give you the same couple of options we normally give. We're going to have a song of invitation if you'd like to come forward. You can feel free to do so. Also, I'll be standing up here at the end of service, and you're welcome to come down here. I'll be here to talk with you after we dismiss. But either one of those is fine. But I love you, and today I want to encourage you. Believe in the only thing that's going to help us, and that's the Word of God. That's all the solution we've got. But folks, it's all we need. But you don't need a better solution when you got the right answer. And we have it from God Himself. So this morning, if you have any need, won't you please come while we stand, while we sing.